In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Scripture talks of a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that we should compare ourselves to. Things that are good and things that are bad. What are we good at? I would submit to you that all of us are pretty good at wasting time. Pretty good at not saying our prayers. Pretty good at saying our prayers without attention. Pretty good at doing things that are frivolous instead of things that are constructive to our souls. Pretty good at sinning instead of doing works of righteousness. Pretty good at being angry towards someone that wrongs us instead of turning the other cheek and making it an opportunity for our own blessing. Pretty good at having thoughts that are not pure instead of struggling against them and gaining a crown. I would say that we're pretty good at wasting time. Both of these readings today are about wasting time and that we should not waste time. Now, in the case of the rich man, he was given everything he needed. It's okay to be rich. If you're rich, you can help the poor. It's not a sin in being rich. Rich men can enter the kingdom of heaven, although the Lord says with difficulty, not because of the riches, but because of what the riches do to a man. They make him waste time. They make him say to himself, soul, thou hast many things. Let's tear down perfectly good barns and let's build new ones. Let's take time with contractors and getting perfect barns and, you know, probably having nice, some sort of nice architectural devices on them and everything. Let's do all those kinds of things. Let's be concerned about that rather than about our soul. Riches often make a person think about wasteful things. But we shouldn't just think the rich man is guilty of such things. We're not that rich, but we have the same kinds of troubles, the same kinds of time, of aspects of our life where we waste time. What does the Lord say to the rich man? Your soul shall be required of you. They come tonight to take it. Indeed, at any time we can die. And then we'll be held accountable for what we've done, what we haven't done. One more thing about this rich man. Did you notice he has no name? Same as the rich man in the parable of Lazarus. He had no name. A certain rich man. Just a rich man. Just a rich guy that, when he died, he had a nice funeral. And after that, people said, boy, I'm glad he's gone. He was really a pain. He was really unfair. He cheated me. Or maybe they say, oh, he gave to these this and that philanthropic organizations, but nobody really loved him. A rich man with no name. It would be better to be a poor man name, with the name of Christian. And what does a Christian do? A Christian does not waste his time. The apostle speaks of it. He tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. We have been made new creatures so that we can become righteous. The Lord's given us everything we need, and the fruit of the Spirit is to attain all these things, to become perfected morally. It's the purpose of our life. Because as I've told you 1,000 times before, if we don't become perfected morally, if we don't enter into the struggle for following the commandments, for becoming righteous, for doing what's right in our heart, which God has put it there, then we won't know God. And since salvation is to know God, we won't be saved. Not if we don't become righteous. Or I always have to say, so as to stave off our despondency, and it's true. I have to say that we must struggle for righteousness, and the Lord provides it. Didn't he say that the prostitutes and the tax collectors were entering into the heaven before the Pharisees? You think all of them became perfect in this life? You think all of them left off all of their vices? All of their pride, their licentiousness? You think so? I don't think you know human nature very well then. They all struggled. Some of them probably became absolutely righteous. But others struggled and sometimes fell. but they tried. And God indeed will eventually give such ones who struggle the fruits of the Spirit. What tell us? Through the Apostle Paul quotes from the Scriptures, "Awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead." Then he says, "And Christ shall give thee light." We're so sleepy. We're always sleeping. Now the sleep that the Scripture talks about is really twofold. One is the sleep of death. Christ indeed will make us rise from that sleep. But the other sleep, the sleep that causes the eternal sleep, is our laziness, our false priorities, our distracting, our being distracted, our wasting our time. I'm guilty of this. First of all, there are things in my life that I have great bitter feelings about how I've wasted opportunities. And even to this day, there are wasted opportunities that I see every moment, that I see that I have already wasted and that are causing difficulties for me or for my loved ones. But the Lord says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give you the light." He also says in another place, "The kingdom of God is within you." The resurrection is for us to improve now. Not just for later, it's for now. Don't be waiting to become better later. Become better now. The apostle tells us, "See then, knowing that the Lord says, Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ will raise thee from the dead." Meaning, not just later on after you die that there'll be the resurrection, but now he'll raise you from the dead. From the death of your sins. From the death of all of the passions that you have and the difficulties that you have in your life. The Lord will help you with them now. That's what this says. So in light of this, the apostle says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Indeed, the days are evil. They've always been evil. Everything is false in the world. Everything has a cover over it, but it's actually rotten within. Knowing that the Lord gives us life, knowing that He tells us, be filled with the Spirit, knowing these things, walk circumspectly, walk carefully. That's why we follow the commandments. Now, Christianity has been labeled by many as do this, don't do this, don't do that. That's not at all what Christianity is. A whole segment of people that call themselves Christians have rejected this idea, this false idea, so that they say now all you need to do is believe. No, you need to believe and you need to act like you believe. You need to live like you believe. You need to get up from your sleep and you need to struggle. If you don't say your prayers, you need to say them. If you are lazy, you need to struggle to become more diligent. If you're angry with someone, if you hold grudges, you need to confess it and you need to struggle to not hold a grudge. And there are ways. You talk to me, I can tell you things to do. First of all, I'll tell you, for everyone that you hold a grudge, you must pray for them first before anyone else. But there's other things as well. There's things that are possible to a person that desires to repent. The Lord shows them a way, even for things that are very difficult to change, whatever they are. Whether they be an internal thing, a way we think, or an external thing, the way we live, or what we crave. The Lord will help us, but only if we walk circumspectly, if we struggle to be righteous. Without being righteous, we can't understand He who is righteous. Above all righteousness. We can't know Him. No matter what we call ourselves, no matter how much we know in the worldly sense about Christianity, if we don't struggle to live it morally, then we don't know God. And that's it. We don't understand Him then. Which means we cannot be saved. Which means when at the end, when He says, He sees us, He'll say, "I don't know you. You haven't become like me." And we won't know Him either. We'll be afraid of Him. But the Lord gives us the opportunity now. He gives us His body and blood. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us everything we need in order to change. He's not expecting of us to make ourselves perfect. It's not possible. He came to make us perfect. What is he expecting of us is for us to struggle, for us to redeem the time. So, you can look in your own life and think, do I watch more television than I read things that are good for my soul? Do I pray very often? When I pray, is it hurried? Is it without attention? You can look down the line. Am I more concerned for my own entertainment or my own welfare than others? If you look carefully, you'll see there are places in your life where you are failing, where you are not redeeming the time. He says, be not unwise, but have understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is for you to be saved. But the only way for you to be saved is to know him. That's why we talk about the commandments. That's why we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is when a person is righteous because within them they are able to be righteous. And they're at peace because the peace of the Lord fills their heart. And they're no longer constrained to do things that are evil, that are against their conscience. That's the fruit of the Spirit. I'm looking forward to it. Because when I am struggling and not wasting time, still, when someone says something evil against me, it takes effort to not think something evil against them. Well, that effort will be repaid eventually, where it won't take effort to love. Wouldn't that be a one thing? Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be able to be at peace at all times, no matter what someone says to you, no matter what happens to you, to be at peace, to be happy always. That's unbelievable to me, and yet it'll happen. I can't put my arms around it. I can't understand it with my mind. For me, a lot of life is not very happy at all. But the Lord promises happiness. The Lord promises perfection. The Lord promises all goodness and righteousness and truth, but only to those that are walking circumspectly, those that are struggling, those that are redeeming the time. Those that are not, as the apostle says, drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now this drinking of wine and being drunk, he's not referring only to getting drunk on wine or something else that changes the way we think, some drug or something. He's talking about anything that is only for our own personal desires. We can't live for ourselves. We're living for God so that he will make us complete and perfect. It's a good thing to live for. It's the only thing that's real. Everything else is going to go away. We must redeem the time in our lives. So every day, your purpose, from the time you get up in the morning to the time that you lay your head upon your pillow, is to become more righteous, to be filled with the Spirit, to put away evil things, to put on the robe of righteousness and do good things, to struggle. Now, you won't always be good in the struggle. You won't always be successful. But if your face is always pointed, as it were, towards Jerusalem, towards blessedness, the Lord will help you. If you attempt to do well most of the time, then the Lord will help you with those other times when you don't do well. But most of the time, you're not attempting to do well. You're just kind of bebopping through life. Then the Lord won't help you. It's as simple as that. It's not a matter of how successful you are right now. It's a matter of how much you want to be successful. The evil one tries to make us fall into despondency because of our sins. As I said before to you, your sins can't kill you. Your sins can't send you to hell. It's not your sins that are dangerous. It is your lack of repentance for them. The Lord can forgive every sin. And even the unrighteous, if they struggle, will become righteous. So let us redeem the time. Let us look into our life and see where we waste our lives. I'll tell you, I waste so much time. It's just scary how much time I waste. Many times I don't make the right decision. How many times, because I don't feel well, I don't do the right thing. I don't struggle a little bit longer and a little bit harder. But there are times when, by God, I do struggle. And there are times when you all struggle as well. Let's make it more often. Let's struggle more often than we are lazy. And let's see what happens to our lives. Let's see a change come over us, a revolution in our lives, so that we'll be filled with the Spirit, filled with all goodness, all happiness. This is why the Lord came, so that we would be filled with all good things. And what he asks of us is that we walk circumspectly in this knowledge, that we've been bought with a price, a great price, and that we've been redeemed from a terrible death. And that not only have we been redeemed from a death, but the Lord has said that we will become His children, full of righteousness. All we need to do is walk in this knowledge, struggle in this knowledge, walk circumspectly, and redeem the time. Amen.